Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, so I can really tell that Figgy has been listening to The Doors and such. Because you're in that vibe. You're in that mode, man. Today is on a Thursday.
And hey, little Jimmy Hendrix.
Don't think I missed on that Rolling Stones last segment.
Yeah.
Like, you're definitely in that vibe, right?
I've been in heavy, man.
I can see it. I can feel it. All right. Appreciate you bringing that type of energy to In the Loop on this Thursday. All right. Payne and Pendergast sat down and talked with Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Houston Texans, as they are wont to do. They do that periodically. And, of course, no better time than 3 weeks before the NFL draft to kind of get into what Nick Caserio has been doing. But then also, like, coming out of, I guess free agency in a way. Not saying that it's, in theory, it's not done. Things can still be done. However, a majority of what has happened seems to kind of have transpired. And as we've seen this team kind of come together, I thought this was an interesting question to ask of Nick Caserio. This is cut two here, Figgy. Did you lay the blueprint for getting a new deal with Houston? Obviously, you see the, you know, Derek Stingley get his money, got paid very well. And Danielle Hunter gets that extension, the 1 year extension that we had kind of heard that he wanted. Is there now a blueprint? And if so, what is it?
Good player, good attitude. Go out there, be productive, work hard, put the team first, and you know you'll be rewarded. And again, it's not just those three specific players, sure. But I think when you look at the overall composition of the team and the mindset, and D'Amico has talked about this, what are the things that we're looking for? What do we prioritize? Like, those three players are pretty good examples of what a Houston Texan football player should look like, or what we want it to look like. Understanding every player is different. Everyone has strengths. Everyone has areas that they can improve. But those three players in particular are three of our better players. We feel like we're pretty fortunate that we have a lot of good football players on this team, in this building. And again, going back to what I said a little bit earlier, everything is kind of case by case. So we'll look at it. We'll have discussions. D'Amico and I talk about the team, I don't want to say every day, not every day, but it's every day. And we're just trying to make sure that we're very thoughtful and we very do things with the right intentions. And, you know, those players, they earn what they receive. We don't give out anything. Like, this isn't like, okay, come in here and we're just going to give you, you get what you earn. And the contracts are the contracts. And every situation is going to be a little bit different. But those players have earned what they received.
All right. Well, let's stop there for a second. I think that hits kind of the meat of the issue, the heart of the issue. He starts by getting immediately into, like, just, these dudes earn it, right? He obviously talks about that. But, like, yeah, man, it's great dudes. Like, he gets into, like, the mentality, basically, to overuse this word once more, the swarm. And it seems like this, again, falls in line with what has been a leaning in even harder in this organization into the right kind of guy, and the mentality matters in the way that they're building this team.
And when you can sign him. You know, and he hadn't talked about that just yet, but you know, being able to sign them now and work the numbers in a favorable way And this is the point where I always say, you know, they'll figure out the cap as they move forward, because every team can, even contrary to what a lot of people say. I mean, even the Saints. But yes, they're in a place right now where if they can get a player like this, the sooner the better, for a number of reasons, to sign them. And then the other thing, you can't downplay, like, mentality always matters in the NFL. You know, guys that fit who you are, your culture, all that. But, man, it really seems to matter a lot here. Like these guys are D'Amico guys, you know, they're Nick Caserio guys. And I think, you know, they don't give them the money, as he said, but boy, it sure helps when you're the right kind of guy for their system.
Yeah, but I do kind of appreciate that. They're like, we're doing the sorting out and the weeding out on the front end. I think Seth, yes, at a later point kind of asked about, you know, with the new era of college football and NIL, mm-hmm, and just having money more readily accessible to these players. More of these guys have had money in their hand, and he was basically trying to ask, like, does that make it easier on you to kind of make the decision to give, mm-hmm, people big money? Because, like, in the past, general managers, decision makers would have to consider, if I give this person some money, are they going to wild out? Are they going to lose their love for football? Are they going to lose their drive?
Yeah.
And I got the question, but ultimately it seemed like Nick leaned back and was like, basically said, we do that on the front end. Like, mm-hmm, we want a guy. It's evident to see. And they're not going to have guys on this team that don't have that passion on the front end that you don't know about, so that you don't have to worry about that on the back end, so that you can just come through and give an advantageous deal to a guy, mm-hmm, if they've produced in your organization, because then you know on the front end that they do that, right? That they live that way, that they operate in such a way.
Yeah, and as a side note, this is what he just said there about, you know, super talented players that they want to keep around. Kind of is a window into the world of the Laremy Tunsil thing, because, you know, Laremy Tunsil was not Swarm, and he's, you know, like you said, we were fortunate to have a lot of really good players. Well, they're minus one now, because I think that those things you can bounce off of each other. Laremy Tunsil's a hell of a player. Forget the warts and the mistakes. He's a hell of a player, but he wasn't quite the D'Amico guy, the offensive room guy, all that stuff.
And maybe, yeah, as they've developed this, does that mean that they just were going to get to a place where they did not want to continue to pay that if you don't have that, right, level of swarm, again, to use work ethic or what have you. What immediately came to mind for me, and I know Sean eventually asked the question, was Jalen Petrie. Because that's been, mm-hmm, an extension that I've been thinking a lot about, mm-hmm, is – you see, you're paying a good amount of dudes, right? And you know that there's more to come, including what it will be a very lucrative quarterback contract for C.J. Stroud once you get there. And I was wondering, where does the line get drawn when it comes down to it? How do you feel about a Jalen Petrie extension on the potential of the horizon? Because I know people will bring up, you know, what he doesn't do, which is he's not great, mm-hmm, in coverage. And you can talk about the injury potential, but what he does do is he embodies that philosophy that D'Amico Ryans wants to a T. He's a physical player. He is a local guy. He buys in, and like you've seen the way that he bought in with a position change and everything. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, like, are you in a place where you're comfortable with whatever that comes with paying him that second contract? In order to kind of keep going, understanding that you're paying a lot of dues on that, particularly on that defense.
Well. Not yet. I think the one thing that he doesn't have, you mentioned all the things that he has, and I completely agree with you. You know, Petrie has all those qualities, except he doesn't have all the pelts on the wall yet. He was a net negative year before last. Just year before last. And D'Amico was here. You know, he was miscast a little bit. So I think that they want to see a little more, or get him at a real value. You know, one of those two things is, I think, what they're looking at with Petrie.
Would something like seven a year work for you?
Seven is right in line with where he probably is right now, right?
I think so. I know. At one
he has
point,
another good year or an even better year, then we're talking to, you know, a higher price.
Yeah, and it's weird because Texans commenter has kind of done a little bit of a deep dive on this, mm-hmm, on, you know, what that pay could look like. Because it's hard to then use the market value to determine, because how do you look at him? Like, do you look at him as a safety, kind of in that, yeah, that nickel? Is he a slot cornerback? Like, are you looking at linebackers to try and help,
sure,
determine what that pay is? And that's not the easiest thing in the world, but I even still come back to, they seem to kind of base this off of like what kind of dude you are and how you perform in that way. And mm-hmm. just coming off of last year with the way that he fits the mentality, you would think so. So you know what? Let's ask Nick Cassero. Nick, what are you thinking on a Jalen Petrie extension?
Yeah, I'd say we're having conversations with a number of players. And, you know, we've talked about this. You guys kind of know how we operate. Mm-hmm. Like, we're pretty flexible and open-minded. Like, we don't have a finite, well, if, you know, we don't get it done by September 1st and it's off the table. I think at some point, for everybody's best interest, you might say, hey, look, let's try to figure this out, you know, over the next few weeks and or whenever. We've done things in the off season. We've done things kind of over the summer or in training camp. We've done a few during the season. So we'll maintain some flexibility. Always open to having discussions and dialogue, whether or not an agreement, you know, comes to fruition. It's very situationally based and case by case. So, but I would say there's a number of players that you'd like to keep as many good players and good people around this building for as long as possible. And if we get to that point, great. If we don't, it doesn't necessarily mean it won't work out. It just might means it means it might happen just at a later point. Mm-hmm. So don't really want to comment specifically on any individual discussions with any players, but I would say always open-minded to having a dialogue with the player and their representatives and trying to figure out an agreement that everybody feels comfortable with, because the goal is for both entities and both parties to be happy with how it went. You don't want to have, you know, we're not trying to quote-unquote win a negotiation. Yeah. We don't believe in that. That's not how we operate. You want something where the organization wins and the player feels valued and they feel like, you know, you've made them a priority. So, you know, we'll work through those things. But Jalen's been a good player. It's the day he walked in the building. He's had a significant impact on our program. You know, that's the type of player that you'd like to have around here as long as possible. So we'll kind of see how all that works itself out.
Man, he's talking exactly about Jalen Petrie. Like, well, you know, maybe, you know, show us a little more. I mean, that's kind of what I was saying too. Like, just show us a little more. We value you. We love you. We like your attitude. Just show us a little more. That's what it sounds like.
But I think that yeah. you show, if he shows you more, I think that
it's
also
be more expensive.
Raises the price.
Yeah.
And yeah, 8-3-2. One thing I didn't like about Rick Smith, the shutdown talks thing. But I do think that setting deadlines, whether arbitrary like that or not, I think it does matter though in helping you, you know, dictate your timelines. And also, like, manage costs, right? Yeah. We're in a different way, right?
Yeah, Rick Smith, that's the one thing that drove me nuts about him. Oh, we don't negotiate during the season.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Everyone else does.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Everyone else does.
Nah, that was like a standard. We should be like, man, come on, man. Yeah.
No, the actual boundaries and borderlines that he set, I'm not feeling. But, like, I think I do understand.
Yeah, there are deadlines. You want to get things done.
Because, I mean, we can look at, I mean, the likes of Jerry Jones, who we mm-hmm. always will point to and laugh at because he's waiting forever to get deals done. Mm-hmm. Because that drives the cost up. And I understand that, like, that's not exactly what's happening here, but especially as you're continuing to pay dudes. And I love the fact that that Nick Cassero and this organization is in a place where they're like, we're not trying to win the deal. And I think in saying that, we're not trying to, like, come up and get over on these players because you want the players to feel appreciated. But at the mm-hmm. same time, it's like it's a salary cap sport for a reason. It
exactly.
does. And I do wonder at what point do you get to a place where you've paid so much in the top end where you have to lean very, very heavily on the draft. In fact, Les Snead was talking about that mm-hmm. this offseason at the league meetings this week about how, like, the F them picks, like, it was what was really necessary for them was getting those kind of those late round picks to really hit in order to kind of bring back, bring some talent in there to make, you know, work around the big ticket items that they had paid.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny to me because I'm not going to talk about Jalen Petrie specifically. And then everything he said sounded like he was talking about Jalen Petrie specifically.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I'm still looking at that space. But ultimately, like, I think they're operating in a way that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I don't have many complaints mm-mm. when it comes to this organization where they're operating. I just keep looking at the offensive line. And even then, like, I get how they get to this place. I do wonder, though, how, like, you know, you make the Laramie Tunsil move without necessarily having something in your back pocket.
Right.
Like, I still do wonder how you get to that place. But by and large, this offseason has been, if you were good to give a grade, what would you give it? Because I think this
I would say B minus. The offensive line is just the only thing holding him back right now.
I was in that space. I was going to give him a straight B and trying to find a little bit more optimism, especially because I know my skepticism is probably more unique. But yeah, man, like, I think that you can give them a lot of credit here. And I do love that you're continuing to build a organization, even in that, where I'm like, I don't know how many guys you could pay and how long you can wait to kind of not necessarily get the best deal, although they have gotten some good deals, like the Stingley thing, mm-hmm. and what have you. I still feel like they're handling this well, and they're building. They're continuing to build a great culture where you have guys that want to mm-hmm. come in the offseason and work out together, and they want to feel like an entire unit in a group. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. A note worth taking note of, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. Some offseason dates have been released by the Texans. OTA offseason workouts will happen in May, like late May, a few days, May 28th to the 30th, and then early June as well. So we're seeing the offseason come together. We're getting there.
It's happening.
Mandatory minicamp is June 10th and 11th. So we're starting to get to that space where football is not quite around the corner, but we're starting to see it. You can mm-hmm. kind of see it a little bit over the hill. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're at the time where we typically do our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic, and we will do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
These are my confessions.
All right, people, you fine people. So are you familiar with the name Gracie Hunt?
I am, actually.
Gracie Hunt. If you don't know, she is an heiress to the Hunt fortune.
I appreciate all the enunciation that you're doing right now.
The heiress?
No, just making sure that you say Hunt.
Hunt.
Correctly. That can get you in
fortune. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I didn't even think of that, but mm-hmm, now mm-hmm. I am. So
don't mess it up.
I gotta watch
silence the H.
Watch myself here. Gracie Hunt. Happy birthday to Gracie Hunt. She just turned 26. 26.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a billionaire heiress.
Correct.
Also the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
And so she posted on her birthday 26 tips for a successful life.
Okay.
She's 26.
Yeah, I was like, it's always weird. It's always tough when you are young trying to give people advice.
Because mm-hmm.
I feel like anybody older than you looking at you like, you don't know a damn thing.
All I needed was one. Be a billionaire heiress.
What was the tips, though?
I got a few for you.
Okay.
The confession is like, I'm going to go ahead and pass on your advice.
Well, I guess you want to be a billionaire then.
She was born into the Hunt family. She's 26.
What is that, third generation money at this point?
At least third, right?
Yeah.
There's ketchup everywhere in her house. You know, there's she's got all kinds of, she's got the Chiefs.
I don't know if that's the flex that it sounds like. You got ketchup all over your house.
How about this one? Those red ketchup jerseys are soon going to be hers. Of the Kansas. She's going to own the Chiefs. And she gave 26 tips for a successful life. Let me throw a couple of these out there. Keep in mind, she's 26.
Correct.
One of them, Figgy, eat the rainbow.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, have Skittles?
Eat the rainbow.
Wait, did she actually, like, expand on this, or did she just write that?
That was, like, thing number 19. Eat the rainbow.
Oh, she ran out. Yeah. That's what happened. Eat the rainbow is insane.
That's the secret. That's a tip for a successful life. You know another one?
I guess.
I've never heard this before. Timing is everything.
Sure.
That's true.
You can't knock on that. Not She's true? Not wrong.
Is that not true?
She learned that in her grizzled 26-year life in trying
Here's
to
another
things
one.
Out. Yeah.
Be sure to reset to nature's frequency.
Oh, those are just buzzwords.
That's a little too much in the sticks for me.
And of course,
no pun intended.
Yeah, I got the feeling of like amethyst crystals and stuff. I was like, nah, I don't like this. That quote just asked me what my sign is. I don't like it.
And then this one to end it. Choose your hard.
I've heard that one before.
I've heard all of them except for eat the rainbow and reset to nature's frequency.
Well, that's two of the four.
But I roll. I was going to say I something. I roll. She's 26 and a billionaire heiress. And she's posting to almost a million followers, by the way.
And she got a million followers?
780,000, I think.
She must look good.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna explain. I was like, yes,
she probably looked good.
She is a conventionally attractive young woman.
The answer is yes.
That's right.
Come on, man.
I mean, 26 years going great. Clearly, she's doing something right, Lopez.
Hey, maybe take her advice and maybe you could be a billionaire.
I'm going to eat the rainbow as soon as I finish the show today.
Yeah, and the hunt money is oil and gas money, but I did like the image of Lopez. Just like they got ketchup all over the house. They just got bottles all over the house. Lopez, the 832 wants more of these because they're trying to be a billionaire. So, they're writing this down. So just, okay. If you could just sprinkle in.
Her name is Gracie Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why. Yeah, exactly, Lopez. Now you'll never be a 26-year-old heiress.
Well, I was really counting on that. I was really counting on
that. Was that the retirement plan? So you can become a 26-year-old heiress?
Yeah. These are
my confessions. I learned about myself, because I got to admit, I learned about myself that I am I'm messy in a way that I did not anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these algorithms, man, they get you.
Oh, yeah.
And I've tried very much to not dig into those because they're a time suck or what have you. And so Instagram Reels have gotten me. And one of the things that's gotten me recently is these second date radio segments. So like there's a radio show somewhere, I don't even know where it is, where they would do these segments where their listeners could email in if they'd gone on a first date and they just hadn't heard back from the person. Mm-hmm. They could email the radio station. The radio station would call the person and ask them why they hadn't called them back. And like that sounds like, all right, yeah, I'm sure that's a you know, radio segment that works or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My Instagram keeps popping them up, and my dumb self keeps listening all the way through.
You're in now.
I've been hooked.
Yeah, you're in.
Like
now.
This is the type of thing that I would like to I'd like to believe myself above, but I'm not. I'm messy enough to where I want to find out why Leslie didn't call back Jeff after they had a fantastic date at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do I care about this? And I don't have a good answer, but I still do. That's it. Like, I just have to confess. I've realized that this is something that catches my attention, and I'm not happy about it, but it does.
We get sucked into this stuff so much.
Yeah.
I mean, so much.
It's funny, too, because, like, all it takes for you is to watch one thing, and that stuff keep popping up on your timeline, man. Like, I ran across a fight. It was, a fight outside.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of checking it out. Nah, my timeline's number fights, just random ass fights. I'm like, all right, I ain't that messy.
Yeah.
I want to keep watching all these fights.
I got into you familiar with Grizzy? The one that's kind of a watchdog?
No.
Oh, you got to. Oh, she's huge. She has all kinds of like police scanner things. She goes to some of these things.
Is this a dog or a person?
It's a woman. Grizzy News. I'm all in on that. Figure you'd love it.
So she's basically like storm chasing, but like for.
But she's good. Like she solves stuff and she catches people.
This man.
Yeah.
All right.
Look it up. You'll be in.
No, that's the point. I don't want more of these.
Is that like that hood news?
That's it. It's Grizzy.
Grizzy hood news?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't want more of these.
They be catching the little, like the fights at the stoplights.
But bigger stuff, too. Like, remember when that convict was loose up in Huntsville and they were searching for him? Grizzy was all over that. She helped him. She helped him catch him.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Shout out to Grizzy, I guess. I'm not going to check in on you. I'm going to be honest. These are my
confessions. I don't know how I should feel about this, man. I meant to bring it up yesterday, but it stayed on my mind. So yesterday, me, Reggie, and T-Mill went out to Kirby Ice House for steak night.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I decided to, you know, make a tweet. I text a couple people like, hey, because the last time we went, everybody was like, hey, I like steak. Oh, where my invite? Yeah. And all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I decided to text a couple people. Some people couldn't make it and all that stuff. So shout out to my man Sean Pendergast. Mm-hmm. I text him. And this was on Tuesday. So this is where I text him. I text him, yo, me and Reg doing steak night at Kirby tomorrow around 6 p.m. Now, this was Tuesday. I said we will be there tomorrow. I said we will be there tomorrow around 6 p.m. if you want to join.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to the Astros game tonight.
Yeah.
Which would have been Tuesday.
Yeah. Please hit me next time. So I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, what's today's date?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's okay, man. We will be there tomorrow.
Right.
I said tomorrow again. Tomorrow. No pressure. I'll let you know next time. He said, thanks. Again, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, damn, is he gonna be a little hungover or something?
Right,
like,
that's a big plan.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like, dang, I guess maybe he misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe thought I was talking about that night, which was Tuesday and not Wednesday. But then I think Reggie said, I guess he kind of misunderstood. He thought it was Tuesday.
It seems like it. It seems like it. But now that's thrown, I think it's thrown both of us off.
Yeah, that was my confession. That kind of threw my week off a little bit. Because I was already off Tuesday because I was reading to the kids. And so that threw me off. And then when Sean said that, I'm like, damn, what is today's date? So now today I'm sitting here thinking it's Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm all thrown off, man. But that little piece right there kind of threw me off a little bit because I'm like, did I say today or tonight?
Yeah.
And I made sure I said tomorrow. And he was just like, nope, I'll be at the game tonight.
Okay.
So I'm like,
what day is it?
I'm like, what is going on?
Today is Thursday, by the way. I've checked a couple of times because it does feel kind of Friday-like.
Yeah, it does. It does. It absolutely does. These are my confessions. I think the Torpedo Bats are going to break the Astros out of their slump.
And okay.
Let me explain.
I like that.
No, let me explain. Baseball players are among the weirdest athletes in sports.
Agreed.
They're just, it's a long, long season. It's such a mental game. They do some very bizarre things sometimes, you know, in terms of trying to break out a slump, out of a slump, maybe whether it's working on some little mechanical, tiny little thing or whatever it may be, slump busters, you know, all kinds of bizarre things. The Torpedo Bats, and by the way, they're coming to Houston. They won't be on the road trip here. They won't have them on the road trip to Minneapolis, but they're going to be back. And Joe Spada said he expects them back by the homestand.
I also wonder, when they implement them, because the bats come in.
Well, they're going to probably use them in the cage a little bit.
Yeah, use them in the cage, BP. I don't know that you're immediately like, all right, take them to the plate. Let's go.
There might be some, but I'm telling you, baseball is such a mental game, and these guys are willing to try just about anything. I fully expect once they get used to it, three, maybe four guys using the torpedo bats. And because it's such a mental thing, even though it may not be the bat, I think we're going to see the Astros bats start to heat up because of that.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. It's not the bat.
You say it's not the bat?
But the bats are going to help them between the ears.
Yeah, you got. I mean, look, it's a largely mental game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in that same vein, I think there's a double Astros confession for me.
Mm-hmm.
One, Luis Garcia has been shut down. They said it's inflammation again. So, this is the third time that that's happened. I finally reached where you guys were.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, all right, I don't believe anymore. I do not believe anymore. But at the same time, lineup for today has come out versus the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who's in center field?
Who would that be?
Chaz McCormick.
How about that?
I think that's I got it.
Second leading hitter.
That's his
among
spot.
The regulars.
I got it. Think that's his spot.
I think that's his spot. I
it
think
might
he
be.
He done taken the spot.
Yeah.
I think he's the center. I mean, and it's three straight games out of a total of what would now be seven.
Six, seven. Yeah.
I don't know that I could I really shouldn't extrapolate, but it does feel like Jake Myers had started out, all right, and very quickly Chaz was really worked in center, and it might just be because of the paltry hitting that you've gotten.
Yeah,
he's been less paltry.
It's Altuve and then him among the regulars.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. But
you're riding that hot hand of a 256 batting.
That's right.
Or whatever.
That's right. Look at that. 281 said they'd rather the Astros get a bunch of ladies to break the slump than switch to the torpedo bats.
Hey, you can do both.
Yeah, I don't know how various players' wives and significant others would feel about that particular, or maybe that those are the ladies that we're speaking of. I guess I was the one assuming bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in that place where I'm like, yep, white boy Chaz, welcome to center field, dog.
Yeah, man.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. And much appreciation to the Men's Clinic for presenting that. Our lunchtime confessions coming up next. About time for buy or sell on a Thursday. What are we buying? What these various people in sports are selling? We'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on the Jim Allen of the Texas Hammer text line. Someone said, ask the Yankees how well the torpedo bats work. They've lost two in a row. I did.
Hey, I'd take two in a row.
I was all right. No, that's less losses.
Yeah.
But I do also, I was thinking about that, where you look at it's possible that just it was the Brewer series because they mm-hmm. had a whole bunch of runs, but I mean, a lot of those who are also Aaron Judge, who is not using the torpedo bat, just being really good, Aaron Judge. So I do wonder how much of this is actually a torpedo bat. But yeah, if as long as the mental aspect works in it, I do wonder if that helps. All right, enough of that. It's a Thursday, 12:40. Let's do a little buy or sell.
Let's do a little buy or sell. Let's start with the Houston Texans and D'Amico Ryans. Are you buying or are you selling? Earlier this week, D'Amico Ryans said, quote, it was tough to trade Laremy and the O-line room was not toxic.
I'm buying that, especially on the tough to trade Laremy, because I think when that happened, I vividly remember I was in line to get my car washed and I saw it on my phone. I think I texted you guys.
You did. Yeah.
And I was like, yo, because in my mind, you don't make a move of that caliber if you don't have something in your back pocket that you're willing to run out. Mm-hmm. It feels like we've gotten to the place where
they
made that move and then they were like, all right, so now what do we do afterwards? And that would make it tough. Like, I imagine you make that move and you look up and you go, all right, so where do we go from here? Because we just traded a really good left tackle, even if there are all these other things that we talk about. If he's not necessarily exhibiting the full swarm that you would hope at that cost and all those types of things, right? I think that you would have some tough times going, ooh, what does the world look like? It's like quitting a job that you know, maybe there's some quirks, as all jobs do, but quitting a job and not having one lined up, that's tough. No matter what the job is. And so I think that would definitely be tough.
Yeah, I'm buying it too, man. I think I don't think it's an easy thing to trade your best left tackle or the best left tackle, top five left tackle in the game. So I think that was a tough decision.
In a weird way, I'm selling it for the same reason that Reggie gave that he's buying it. And that is, that day and the next day, I said about Nick Caserio, he always has another plan in place. He always he's got two steps ahead of you. And it may well have been ultimately Cam Robinson and Trent Brown and what he has. But to do that, I mean, none of these guys are dumb. They know how good they know how good Laremy Tunsil is as a pass blocker. So I think it wasn't that tough for, I think they made the decision, we're going to have to move on. And we'll figure it out. They had their plan in place, but you know, kind of the same thing you said, but for a different reason. Like, I think they ultimately decided this is not going to work. And it might have been for another reason, too. It might have been, we don't want to have him hold out next year. And, you know, because Laremy is with his contracts and such. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing or it was wrong. I just don't think it was as tough as D'Amico said.
Yeah. And I mean, depending on what you want to use as toxic there, I think we've really circled in on the idea that it just wasn't swarmy enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could point to various different ways where, this is not falling into what has become. We've recognized the offense was not as swarmy as the defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to make sure that we whip everything into shape here. Like the competition and everything will get us to this place where that relentless mindset and that special work ethic will show through on this team in all facets, not just D'Amico's domain of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Which there was a little alliteration there. My bad. I didn't even think about
you.
That.
Good on you. Mm-hmm. Jerkson Profar said, quote, I never would knowingly take a banned substance. Before you answer, I do want to mention, because I looked it up this morning, the only way to take HCG is what he took, is by injection. The only way you can take it is by injection, and it's known as a masking agent.
So he got popped not for the thing that that he did, but it's like, all right, we know that you hiding something.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what you're hiding, but we know where you're hiding it, so you're going to get this 80 game.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, no, I'm selling it. I'm selling it. If for no other reason, then never, dog. Because I can actually understand how some players get to the place where they do the calculus and they go, it's worth trying to cheat.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you throw me out of here or what have you, but for the time being, I might not be able to stick up here. And Jerkson Profar, at one point, was one of the top prospects, or he was the top prospect in baseball. And it really ain't panning out in that same way. And all of a sudden, you get to a little bit older, and maybe not all of a sudden, because he's found a level of like consistency. But then he has a really good season with the Padres, and all of a sudden, he's in the money. Yeah, that don't sound like somebody that did a little bit of a cost-benefit analysis and said, let's see if we can hit for a lick.
You have to open the container and inject yourself. I don't know why I pushed my stomach, but anywhere, wherever you have to inject yourself.
Well, I mean, I think there is something to be said for, I don't know that these guys are like, oh man, I tripped and fell into some whatever the case.
Yeah.
I think that oftentimes the excuse is like, I trusted somebody who told me that this was a thing.
He said he would never knowingly do it.
And so, but we've had this happen mm-hmm. enough where it's like, all right, dog, I feel like there's instances and ways in which you probably need to mm-hmm. check and clear. And again, I still come back to, I bet you could look up and see that a dude did the calculus and said this is worth the risk, and he just happened to, you know, hit mm-hmm. snake eyes.
I feel like he probably found somebody he trusts, and the guy said, trust me, bro. You want to be good? Trust me, bro. Yeah. You're like, all right, I'll trust you. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me anything what you're putting into my body.
But you know, even when you say that, you know.
Hey, technically, yeah. he don't know. Yeah, technically, well, he don't know.
You know what?
Hey,
great.
Do you want to win? Do you want to be great?
Plausible.
Don't so ask no
so
questions.
So you're buying this?
Hey, dog, this is just vitamins. It's just IV vitamins, bro. Yes. Don't even worry about
just
that.
Just take
that's,
this shot.
That's like somebody told me one day, hey, you want to make $10,000? Yeah, all right, just drive me here. Don't ask no more questions.
Oh, you, wow. How long ago was that? I want to check the statute of limitations.
That was a minute ago.
Okay, good.
I'll tell you about it later.
I was like, please don't say that on air if that was within a certain number of years.
I'll tell you about that later. But
I'd have said no so fast.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
I'm selling it. I'm selling it. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, me too. All right, here's another one baseball related. You mentioned tripping. Freddie Freeman. He's still out, I think, right? Injured ankle? I think he's still out. Either way, he said he injured his ankle, quote, in a mishap entering the shower.
I buy this.
I love these. I love these because you never know what's true and what's not.
I buy this. I damn near slipped in the shower 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the lip of my shower is a little bit tall. It's like, obviously, it has the basin or what have you. Mm. And I hit the mess out of my shin. I felt so bad. And I very vividly recall the fact that that can happen to any of us, right? Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a macho man or whatever. I'm not trying to put this, you know how some people put that little slick thing or mm-hmm. thing in the shower to kind of help you get some grip. I'm like, nah, I don't need that. And then you don't need it until you need it, right? Mm-hmm. So I could absolutely see Freddie Freeman. Plus, they be at hotels and stuff all the damn
not
time.
Not familiar, maybe? Yeah.
Man, all it takes is just a wet floor and a poorly placed foot for you to slip and hurt yourself.
Yeah, I'm buying it too, man. Everybody fall, man. Everybody mm-hmm. got some type of weird spot where they fall. Hell, you fell in the parking lot one time. I think one of our people around here, she was talking about how she fell
mm-hmm.
in the parking lot. She did a little Home Alone fall.
Yeah.
Where you go airborne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm like,
wow.
Oh, man. So, look, everybody fall. So, I'm 100% buying this.
I'm buying it, too. But every time I see one of these excuses, your mind always goes like, did he?
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing too. You don't want to tell nobody, hey, I messed up my ankle in the shower mm-hmm. or something stupid.
Yeah. All right, buying or selling this? Sean Bajani said he would whip Seth's ass.
That I am selling so bad because it's also the and I appreciate take the take, make it as hot as possible. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop his ass though.
Yeah, that's a beatdown.
I've been kind of trying to find the circumstance. I told you guys, I'm like, maybe we go street fight, no rules, and I go as dirty as possible. I'm talking about rusty Shackleford, sand in the eyes. Yeah. I'm talking about kicking your knees because I know you got a faulty one. I'm talking like finding all of the weak points that Seth has from having a body that he used to earn him money by playing football.
Right.
And even still, that ain't whoop your ass. No. That is, I might beat you. I might get over cheating. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about whoop your ass. And he's talking about straight up boxing without the reach.
That's a no.
With a guy in Seth who he is reformed. I think he comes from a very warm and loving place.
Mm-hmm.
But he is on the precipice. Don't let the Hulk come out because it's in there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, Bajani, I can't see this any which way, dog. I really can't.
Yeah, I'm selling this too because it's not like he said whoop his ass. Like when you think of an ass whooping, you think of in sports, you think of blowouts.
Yeah.
Like it'd be one thing if he said, hey, I think I could win. Mm-hmm. I think I'd come out on top. That's a little different, but an ass whooping is like a blowout.
You know mm-hmm. what? I want to go even further with this. I'm going to take my take and make it as high as possible in the opposite direction. I don't think there's a sports radio 610 personality that Sean Bajani would whoop their ass. I think he could win. Don't get me wrong. He could beat some people.
Oh, yeah, I see your point.
I don't know that he's whooping nobody's ass straight up.
Yeah.
And so to say that about Seth,
mm-hmm.
okay, man. I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
I've got one related, and you and I both looked at each other when we heard it this morning during the cross. Seth Payne said, I'm the biggest, strongest dude in the joint. That's a direct quote.
in the joint.
About here.
We're not putting him in jail.
About Sports Radio. He says, I'm the biggest, strongest dude in the joint.
This is tough.
He's biggest, the biggest.
Strongest is tough. I think I'm selling this and I'm giving it to Clint Sterner. Mm-hmm. Especially because I know Seth stays on his workout. Don't get me wrong. Seth is a large dude. Yeah. Like getting to see him in New Orleans. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, this is, different.
He played in the NFL. I forgot.
But not. Clint's strong. Clint is strong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could definitely say, like, with absolute certainty that Clint is the strongest, but I'm willing to sell just off of the idea that I can't say for certain that Seth Payne is indeed the biggest, strongest. Number two ain't bad, though. Not at all.
No, not here.
I'm buying it. And we talk about Sports Radio 610.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm buying it. I think Clint is right there, too, mm-hmm. because you could tell he got that Baytown weight, that Baytown strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Seth when you say that. I think Seth got more of the anger with it, too.
Look, he has the anger, rage can come out.
Yeah. I feel like Clint don't have that anger, but mm-hmm. I feel like he could beat somebody up, but he don't have that Seth anger.
Yeah, I think you're right that it doesn't come from anger, and I'll ask him here in a second to see if I'm right or wrong. I feel like at some point in his life, Clint thoroughly enjoyed the fight. Like, I'm not saying that he still does. He is a loving father of two gorgeous baby girls. Like, I understand that he's in that place. However, there's something about Clint that makes me think, like, you're not just going to out-mad him in a fight. Like, he gets in that. Like, I feel like there's been a point in Clint's life where he got hit, like almost like a movie. He gets hit, you get that little blood, he tastes it, and he goes, Like, I feel like he's Clint.
But you got to go there with Clint. I don't think, like, Seth, I feel like you could say one little small thing.
No, that has happened.
And it's over.
That has happened.
Yeah, I think it'd take Clint a minute. Like, you got to be on some BS.
I would love to see that competition, although I would hate to see that competition.
Exactly.
Because I don't want to see them fight.
Yeah.
But if it ever came to that point, I'd be interested in seeing what the conclusion was.
Here's where I am. I think Seth Payne is the biggest and strongest, even with all due respect to what Clint is. The one person you do not want to fight in this station is Clint. I think Clint will mess you up.
I feel like Clint got a little more bar fight in him.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see Clint just being in that honky-tonk looking bar.
Yep.
And somebody in there hitting on a woman,
yeah.
and he just come out of nowhere, just slide him across the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drinks flying everywhere. He just kind of just standing there like the Rock.
He is bigger and I think maybe a little stronger, although Clint clearly is, you know, I think he said he could do 23 or whatever reps of the
225.
225. I don't disagree. I think he's slightly stronger, but I think the one that would fight the best is Clint.
Yeah, that he got that bar fight in him. I think Seth can fight, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he got that bar. A bar fight is a little different than just a regular street fight.
All right, one more for you here.
Okay.
And this is football related, back to football. Art Rooney II, Steelers owner. These are direct quotes. All signs are positive. That's one. I have a good feeling. That's another one. Not in a hurry. That's the third. He's talking about Aaron Rodgers. He says all signs are positive. Has a good feeling, and he's not in a hurry to sign Aaron Rodgers.
I would have to buy that. I think I'm buying that, right? There's not really a lot of landing spots when we're playing the quarterback musical chairs right now. He seems to, I mean, as I kind of perceive it, I think he'd like to play with the Vikings, but the Vikings do not seem like they're in any level of hurry or rush. No. And the Steelers, I mean, they're in a place where they kind of, that's their best option out there. As long as he's not considering, like, retiring, if he still wants to play football, it seems like that'd be a match. And he still has, like, the physical ability to do this to some degree. I just keep asking myself, do you want to deal with that mess?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to deal with the headache that has been Aaron Rodgers in every single stop that he's been in, even when he's been really good? It has been a tough thing to navigate. And so that's the question. But when it comes down to, like, all those things that Rooney said about the possibility of it coming together, I think that he's right.
Yeah, I'm buying it. I think Aaron Rodgers just trying to skip out on all the mini camps and all that crap. I think they had a conversation, and I seen him working out with DK Metcalf.
Yeah. That's right.
So I think it's all set in place. It's just whenever Rodgers is ready to come sign a contract and join in camp, then I think That's what it is.
I'm buying it too, but for a simple reason. They have to. They have to buy it.
Yeah.
They have to believe that.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we enter the final hour of the program. Let's hit the phone and talk to Super Bowl winning scout, a draft, to talk a little bit about the draft. Brian Broaddus will join us next.